Close our eyes for the Vandana. Dear devotees, we'll start with a few minutes of Namasankirtan, and after that we'll continue with the series on the Bhagavatam. Scriptures, or three kinds of granth, three kinds of religious books in the world today. Kriti granth, Smriti granth, and Vinirgat granth. So, out of those three, all three are available in India. And that's the only place that all three are available. I explained to you that Kriti granth means something produced out of someone's mind, but without having experienced it. So a religious book means about God. So someone who hasn't experienced God, who's not God realized, who writes a book about God, or a translation of Gita or Vedas or any book about God, that is called Kriti Granth. And this is, I told you, Amanya. It is not accepted as a real scripture. There are thousands of such books available in the world today which misguide people on the path to God. So these are not only amanya, they are anitya. They were produced out of that person's mind. It's not an eternal scripture. But the other two are both nitya. Smriti granth and Vinirgat granth are both eternal scriptures. So we have those as well in India. Smriti granth means everything except Vedas. Ved alone is Vinirgat Granth. Vinirgat means was never made. Even God didn't make Vedas. Smriti Granth means having experienced God, a saint writes that scripture in his own words. But the interesting thing is, those scriptures are also eternal. For example, the Puranas, the Gita, the Mahabharata, Smritis. These are all Smriti Granth, which means they're eternally existing, but the words are not exactly the same every time they're reproduced. Whereas Vedas are exactly the same. There's no change ever to Vedas. But Smriti Granth, like Puranas, if you went back a million years ago, there were Puranas then also. But maybe at that time, if you read through one of those Puranas, you would see it was worded slightly differently. The knowledge and everything being explained would have been the same, but the saint who wrote that scripture would have written it in his own words for what was relevant at that time. So there's some changes that happen in those Smriti Granth. But the Vinirgat Granth, meaning Ved, that was never made by anyone, never written in someone's own words, even after experiencing God. Even God didn't make Vedas. Vedas are inside of him during Mahapralaya, and he just manifests them outwardly. And he gives that knowledge of the Vedas to Brahma. So the question I brought up yesterday was, when we have such an eternal scripture which is ever unchanged as Vedas, then why do we need Smriti Granth even to begin with? Well, for one thing, it is said in Vedas, tat vijnanartham sagurumevabhigachet samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtham. Mundakopanishad says, if you want to understand Vedas, you cannot understand it on your own. A God-realized saint is required. A shrotriya brahmanisht mahapurush must give you the teachings to allow you to understand Veda. Acharyavan purusho hi veda. Again, Veda says, you have to have the help of an acharya, of a God-realized saint, in order to understand Veda. Uttishthata jagrata praptyavaran nibodhata. Kathopanishad says, O souls, wake up, get up, and go and attain or receive the knowledge of Vedas and of God from whom? Praptyavarat. From someone who has already attained God. So no one can study and understand Vedas on their own. I told you yesterday that even Brahma didn't understand Vedas. Krishna sat in his antahkaran and made Veda come out of his mouth, but Brahma had no idea what he was saying. He did not understand the meaning of the words coming out of his mouth. So this Veda is such that no one can understand its meaning, even Brahma. Only when you take that grace, Brahma. A phone. There were two phones left on the dining room tables yesterday. So, Krishna graced Brahma to understand the meaning of Veda. Without that, even Brahma himself, with his divine mind, couldn't understand Veda, because Veda and God are synonymous. So since God is beyond the intellect, so is Veda. Even Brahma's divine mind cannot actually understand Krishna. Therefore, even Brahma's divine mind cannot understand Veda. But when Krishna graced him, then he understood the meaning. So I explained that these Smriti Granth are produced to help people understand Veda. Itihasa Purana Bhyam Vedam Samupabhringhait Bhagavatam says that the Itihas, meaning Mahabharat, and Puran, they're produced so that people reading that, then they can understand actually what is in Ved, what is karma, what is jnana, what is bhakti. So they're produced, and without them, no one can understand Vedas. But actually, Vedavyasji says, without Krishna's grace, you can't understand those Smriti Granth either. Shat Shastra Veta Nigama Pravinas Tatha Gamabhya Karna Dinishtha Dinahare Bhagavata Prasadam Janati Ko Bhagavatantarartham. Bhagavatam says, even if someone is Shat Shastra Veta, the knower of all six Darshan Shastras, having full knowledge of the Sanskrit grammar, having knowledge like that takes more than a whole lifetime. Vedavyasji says, even if someone knows all of that, they can't understand the secrets of Bhagavatam and the secrets of Krishna Leelas just by reading it. They need Krishna's grace. So this Bhagavatam is the foremost of the Puranas, which is one of our Smrit Granth. Vedavyasji, I told you yesterday, says in the Bhagavatam that this Bhagavat is the essence of all the Vedas and Upanishads. It's his explanation of Brahma Sutra. You don't have to go to any Jagat Guru or any other writer or saint. The explanation of Vedanta is already in Bhagavatam by the same one who produced the Brahma Sutra, Vedavyas. And Vedavyasji goes on to say, for this reason, you don't even need to go and read Vedas, just understand Bhagavatam. And we also saw that he explained that even if you could go and understand Vedas, because there's not much of a description of Krishna's leelas or his personality in Vedas, so even if someone could understand Vedas, Vedavyasji says, that's not for me. I want the ras that's in the Bhagavatam. I want the ras of Krishna Leelas. Without that, he said, even if it's Vedas, I'm not interested. So, today, let's go a little more deeply into the philosophy of and the history of the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam, which is extolled by Vedavyas, Brahma, when he heard that Parikshit got God realized just by listening to the Bhagavatam, he said, let me see how great this Bhagavatam is. So there in Satyalok, in his abode, he took out a big scale. And on one side, he put all the other sadhanas, meaning like path of yoga, path of jnana, reading Gita, studying Vedas, all these other scriptures and other ways and other paths. He put them all on one side, and then he put Bhagavatam on the other side. And Bhagavatam was still heavier than all of those put together. So, how did this Bhagavatam come from Krishna to Brahma, after that to all the way down to Parikshit and to us? How did it come to us? Because Krishna, sitting in Brahma's heart, made him know or remember the knowledge of Puranas and Bhagavatam. How did it end up coming to us? So, Brahma gave the knowledge of Bhagavatam to his son, Narada. He gave it in only four shlokas. Bhagavat, and the full Bhagavat is 18,000 shlokas. But he just gave, in a condensed version, in 4 shlokas, he told the whole Bhagavat to his son Narad. And he said, now you expand on this. So Naradji wrote his Narad Bhakti Darshan, to expand on that knowledge of Bhagavatam, which Brahma had given him. So what happened is that later, after that, Veda Vyasji, who is a dissension of Bhagwan, he was on this earth planet at the same time Krishna was. And in fact, he stayed longer because he's still on this earth planet. He's in Himalaya, even as we speak now. There are 2 instances. One of Vallabhacharya going and meeting with Veda Vyasji when he was here 500 years ago and having some discussion with him. And also Shankaracharya 2500 years ago went and met and had some discussion with Veda Vyasji. So anyway, he is an avatar of Bhagwan, and 5000 years ago he reproduced all the scriptures. That this is the reason Veda Vyas descends on our earth planet, to reproduce the scriptures. And in fact, he comes at the end of every Dwapar Yuga. So Dwapar ended just a little over 5,000 years ago. He was here at that time. So at that time, he reproduced the Vedas in a book form, rewrote all of Vedas, 100,000 verses, Upavedas, Vedangas. He rewrote Valmiki Ramayana. He produced Mahabharata, including Gita. He produced the other 5 Darshan Shastras, Purva Mimansa, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, and he also produced his own Darshan Shastra, which we call Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra. After having done all of that, Bhagavatam says, actually Bhagavat Mahatmya says, Vyase muhyatya jnana sagare. He was still restless. He felt like something was unfinished. He was sitting on the bank of Saraswati River, where he has an ashram. And even though he had done all of that, imagine, not only rewrote Vedas, but broke it into 4 different parts so that the people of Kaliyug could more easily understand Vedas. He taught that to his disciples, so it was passed on. He produced also 17 Puranas, other than Bhagavatam. Those 17 Puranas he taught to his disciples. Brahma Sutra, Gita, Mahabharata, all of this so people could understand the meaning of Vedas. After having done all of that, he was still feeling like something is left out. So who comes but Naradji? Naradji comes and says, oh, Veda Vyasji, you've done all of this. Why are you still feeling upset? Veda Vyas said, I don't know. Then you tell me, Naradji, why am I feeling this way? Narad said, Nairishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate Jnanamalam Niranjanam. Said Veda Vyasji, you didn't describe Krishna Leelas the way they need to be described. He said, you gave Jnan, like Jnan in Vedas, Upanishads, Vedant, that's great. But such Jnan without Bhakti na shobhate. It's not, its greatness is diminished by the lack of Bhakti. See, in the other Puranas, he wrote about bhakti. But the kind of bhakti in those Puranas is, you can say, mixed nishkam and sakam together. There's a lot of stories about asking God for worldly things, like for instance, Satyanarayan Katha. And many other stories where devotees ask and receive worldly things from God. This is sakam bhakti. And there are also instances where A devotee had no worldly desire and just surrendered to God with a desire to be with Him or to serve Him. So it's a mixture of sakam and nishkam bhakti. It's a mixture of karma along with bhakti. Adding in yoga, jnana, all the things mixed together. Not a pure description of the greatness of bhakti above and beyond all else. And also not a clear description, because each Puran focuses on one or a few avatar of Bhagwan. But in no place is the whole thing described and reconciled, that how are the different forms of God interrelated, how is Krishna supreme. And in addition to that, although Krishna's leelas are described in some other Puranas, like Brahma Vaivarta Puran, for instance, but the style of description, just like I told you yesterday, Bhagavatam is rasamalayam. The actual ras of those Krishna leelas is in Bhagavatam. So that's not there in the other Puranas. Kind of like, let's say, someone who knows nothing about classical music goes to a classical music concert, and they're a newspaper reporter, and they sit there and they report everything that happened. Okay, someone sat on the stage and they sang, and next to them someone was playing tabla, and they went faster, and then they went slower, and they sang higher, and they sang lower. So they gave a full description of everything that happened, and people clapped, and everyone seemed to enjoy. That newspaper reporter has no appreciation of the actual intricacies of that classical music. So he wasn't really appreciating for himself the greatness of what he was seeing. He just described what he saw. So something like this, those Krishna leelas are described in other Puranas, but the style of description is kind of like that. Just, this is what happened. But the ras of those leelas is not the actual ras of that Krishna leela. So, Vedavyasji, that's what you have to do. You have to write those Krishna leelas, you have to write them in Bhagavatam, and put the actual ras of those leelas in Bhagavatam. Naradji went on to say, even if someone follows all the dharma, all the family dharma, society dharma, everything, says that kind of dharma which is bereft of bhakti, which is bereft of the love for those Krishna leelas, that dharma is just Shrama eva hi kevalam. It's just effort. It takes so much effort to follow all that dharma, but you don't get the real phal, the real benefit, which is bhakti. So anything without, anything anyone does, to sum up what Naradji told Vedavyasji, he said the most important thing is that someone should develop a desire to hear Krishna leelas. And then listen to those leelas, remember them, meditate on them. That will develop real bhakti in his heart for Krishna. Without that, there's no value in anything. That's what Naradji told him. So, Vedavyasji, you have to write Bhagavatam. Then you'll be satisfied. But first, you yourself do bhakti and experience the ras of those Krishna leelas. So that's what Vedavyas did there in his ashram. He did bhakti to Krishna. Apashyat purusham purvam mayancha yadapashrayam. He did bhakti and he got the divine vision of Krishna and also of his maya. And after having experienced that, then he wrote Bhagavatam. Now having produced Bhagavatam, now he had to pass it on to someone. He had already taught all of his other scriptures to his other disciples. But no one he saw was qualified to actually receive Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is not just a knowledge, like I said, it's the ras of those Krishna leelas. So someone has to be qualified to receive that. Like I told you yesterday, we hear that Krishna Lila and we get a little bit of that ras because we're not fully qualified. There's still a value in hearing it because it purifies our heart. So we'll get qualified by listening to them even though we're currently unqualified to listen to them. But to actually retain the real bliss of the Bhagavatam, someone has to be at that level. Veda Vyas couldn't find anyone of his disciples who was qualified. They had all learned the other scriptures, but the thing is, those other scriptures relate to Sandhini Shakti. They relate to God's almighty power. Those other scriptures all reside in Vaikunth Lok, the almighty abode of Krishna's Ansh, Mahavishnu. So the other 17 Puranas in their divine form reside in Vaikunth abode. Vedas reside in Vaikunth abode. All the scriptures relate to that Sandhini power, the almighty power of God. But Bhagavatam relates to Ahladini Shakti and the divine love power of God. So Bhagavatam, you can say, relates to Vaikunth, Saket, Mathura, Dwarika, Golok, all the way up to Krishna's supreme Golok abode. So who could be qualified to hear and understand and retain such a scripture? Veda Vyasi thought, oh, only my son Shukadeva. He's the only one right now qualified to receive this knowledge of Bhagavatam. But there's a problem. My son Shukadeva is lying in unconscious Brahmaleen Samadhi in the jungle. Who is Shukadeva? Shukadevji, Vyasji's son, spent 12 years in his mother's womb. His mother, Pingala Devi, Veda Vyasji's wife, was pregnant with Shukadeva for 12 years, but she never felt any discomfort. He just stayed in there, didn't come up. Veda Vyasji, after some time, he thought, who is this who's staying in there and not coming up? So he said, who are you? So from inside his mother's womb, Shukadevji says, who am I? Main kya bolun? Kya bataun? I've had uncountable births, as each of us has. I've been born in every species. I've been born as a dog, cat, donkey, horse, cow, human being. I've been born in every species uncountable times. What should I tell you? Who am I? Veda Vyasji said, okay, enough is enough. Now come out. It's been 12 years. Shukadevji said, no, I heard that as soon as a baby is born, he forgets Krishna totally. He forgets God and Maya. Well, Maya makes him forget God and he gets all wrapped up in Maya. So that's why I'm not coming out, Father. Veda Vyasji said, don't worry. Maya's not going to have any effect on you. You come out. So Shukadeva just appeared out of his mother. He wasn't born. Just appeared. And he was 12 years old. And bluish in complexion, kind of like Krishna. And he just, with closed eyes, walked out of his father's hut. Just like that. And his father was calling after him, son, son, where are you going? Yam praprajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano virahakatar ajuhav putreti tanmayataya tarvobhine dustam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. Son, son, come back. This is described in Bhagavatam. Come back, come back. I haven't performed any of the karma, any of the sanskars that we have to perform when someone is born, and then all of this. You're going to take sannyas already? No, no, sannyas comes later. You have to do all of these things first. Shukadevji just kept walking. 8 was he in? Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. He was completely absorbed in the bliss of formless God, Nirakar Brahma. So Ved says, tat kena kam jighre, tat kena kam pashye, kena vijani aditi, ityadi. Such a person in that state is in total oneness with Brahma. So when he looks, what does he see? He sees himself everywhere. What does he hear? Himself. What does he taste? Himself. Because he and Brahm are one. So then it means his senses are not actively able to perceive anything in the world because they only perceive Brahm, 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 Brahm everywhere. So his father's calling and Shukdeoji is just walking because he's completely absorbed. He walked past some celestial apsaras who were taking a bath in a nearby pond. Drishtvānuyāntam rishimātmajamapyanagnam devyodhriyān paridadhurnasutasya citram. As he walked by Shukdeoji, who actually he wasn't wearing anything, just walking by, all those ladies, the apsaras, they didn't bother to cover themselves. But when Vedavyasji came and he was fully clothed and he was an old man, they covered themselves. Tadvichya prichhati munau jagadustavastistri kumbhida natu sutasya vivikta drishte. So he stopped, he took the time to stop and asked those celestial maidens, why did you not cover yourselves for him, but you're covering yourselves for me? So they said, Vedavyasji, you are Hans. You are also one with God, but you can see and differentiate. This is a man, this is a woman, this is a tree, this is a pond, this person is wearing clothes, this person isn't wearing clothes. So although you're one with God, but you're a Hans means a Hans has the ability to separate if you pour water into milk. The Hans can drink the milk and leave the water behind. So for a saint, that means the saint sees God everywhere, but also sees the world, but only takes God, is not affected by the world at all. So that's Vedavyasji, he's a Hans. But your son, Shukdeoji, he's a Paramahans, which means he doesn't see anything but Brahm, 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 everywhere. So he didn't even see that, is this a woman, or is this a tree, or is this a rock? For him, everything was just Brahm. But you could see the difference. Therefore, we covered up for you, but not for him. Vivikta drishte, he doesn't have that vivikta drishti as you do, Vedavyasji. So Shukdevji kept going, Vedavyas gave up. And he just kept going into the jungle, and when it got so thick, he couldn't go anymore. He just sat down, lay down, and became just completely unconscious. Absorbed in, not unconscious like sleeping, unconsciously absorbed in, it's called Brahmalin Samadhi. Completely oblivious to the world around him. So it so happened that two of Vedavyasji's young disciples from his ashram happened by Shukdevji there in the jungle one day. And seeing this glowing, radiant boy lying there, they were curious, so of course they tried to wake him up. They called to him, they shook him, even tried, you know, as young boys are a little bit mischievous, so they even took a little stick and, you know, poke it in his ear a little bit or in his nose, see if they could get some reaction. Nothing. So they came back and told Vedavyasji. So he knew, oh yes, that's Shukdev, my son. And I want him to come so I can teach him Bhagavatam. So he gave two verses to those disciples, verses of Bhagavatam. And he said, go and sing this, and you'll see what happens. So there in those verses was the actual Leela of Krishna. So they went and they sang one verse. Varha piram natvaravapuh karnayo karnikaram vibhradvasa kanak kapisham vaijayanti chamalam rendro. A full description of Krishna walking along with Valvals and Balaram, with the cows, and entering into Vrindavan, describing that beautiful scene and how is Krishna dressed and how does he look. So as those disciples sang that verse, even though they had tried everything, even yelling in Shukadevji's ears, as they sang the verse, Shukadev opened his eyes. How did it happen? Then he just closed his eyes, went back into Samadhi. So they went back and told Vedavyas what had happened. He said, you sing this second verse. Aho vakiyam stanakalakutam jighansaya payayadapyasadhi lebhe gatim dhatriuchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum sharanam brajema. Bhauji is saying in the Bhagavatam, describing about Krishna's kindness, that he even graced Putana, who came with him with the intention, came to him with the intention of killing him, yet Krishna gave her entrance to his divine abode. Who could be more gracious? Who could be more kind? So hearing that, Shukadeva not only opened his eyes, he sat up and he asked, what is this? Where is that from? And those disciples said, this is from Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam has 18,000 such verses. It's written by your own father, Vedavyasji. So he said, take me to him. I want to hear the whole thing. Now, when Shaunakadev Paramahans heard this, see, in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, how does it start? But Shaunakadev, who are also Paramahansas, they are absorbed in the bliss of formless God. Sutji comes to their yajna, a 1,000-year-long yajna that they're performing. Sutji comes, and he's the knower of all the Puranas. So they ask him a question about what is the best sadhana, what is the sure path for the souls of Kali, because they can't study all the scriptures and understand all of that. So you please tell us, what is the one sure path for the souls of Kali? To answer this question, Sutji told the whole Bhagavatam, actually. So when he got to this part, telling that Shukadevji came out of his Brahmalin Samadhi, came back to listen to the Bhagavatam from his father, Shaunakadev Paramahans couldn't believe it. They said, Shukadev Paramahans, tasya putro mahayogi samadrin nirvikalpaka ekantamatirunnidro gurho murha iveyate. They said, we know Shukadevji Paramahans. He is Mahayogi. And he's always in nirvikalp samadhi, means never a thought of anything. Ekantamati. Even if you put him in a crowd of people, he considers himself to be alone because he only sees himself everywhere he looks. Unnidraha. He has awakened from the sleep of mayic ignorance. Murho murha iveyate. He'll look like a total fool to someone who doesn't understand his divine state because he's just so absorbed, he's not aware and doesn't respond to anything. Sago dohana matram hi griheshu grihamedhinam. They said, Shukadeva Paramahansa sit and listen to 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam from his father and then go and tell that in 1 week to Parikshit? We can't believe that it's possible. He would only go, if he goes to someone's house to get some food, he'll only stand there for as long as it takes to milk a cow. After that, he'll just go on back into samadhi and keep walking. That Shukadeva Paramahansa came out of his samadhi for long enough to hear the whole Bhagavatam? How is it possible? So Sukhji told them, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Purvantyahaitukim Bhakti Mittham Bhuta Guno Hari. Shaunakadik Paramahansa, you only know up to the bliss of formless God. You don't know about the gunas of Krishna. You don't know about the greatness of his leelas. And those virtues of his personality, how they supersede the bliss of formless God. You've never experienced that, so your buddhi only goes up to that level of formless God. So how could you understand how when Shukadevji Paramahansa is completely absorbed in the bliss of formless God, how could he be awakened? There's no sound that could penetrate his samadhi. But the bliss of Saguna Sakar Shri Krishna is greater than the bliss of formless God. Bhagavatam tells that there are two kinds of Paramahans. There are Pravritti Parayana Paramahans and Nivritti Parayana Paramahans. Pravritti Parayana Paramahans is like King Janak. It means he's absorbed in the bliss of formless God, but he's actively engaged in the duties of his family and of his kingdom, all of that. So he also experienced the bliss and the gunas of the personal form of God, thus leaving behind his Brahma, his Sukh of formless God forever. Inhi vilokat ati anuraga Barbas Brahma Sukhahi Manatyaga. When Vishwamitra brought Lakshman and Ram before him for the first time there in Mithila, imagine his surprise. He said, Sahaj Viraga Rupa Manamora Thakit hot Jimi Chandra Chakora. He says, my mind is just Sahaj Virag, completely detached from everything and anything, and just absorbed in the bliss of formless God. So that mind is now just like a Chakor looks at Chandra. The Chakor bird, when the full moon rises, just keeps staring unblinkingly the whole night. Watches the moon cross the sky the whole night. It's an example that poets often give for when you're so in love and you look at your beloved's face. Just like the Chakor looking at the Chandra. So Janak is saying, I'm just looking at Ram and Lakshman like this, like the Chakor looking at the Chandra. So my mind, which you could say was inactive, just absorbed in the bliss of formless God, has been reactivated. And now Ati anuraga. I feel so much love looking at this Ram, who was my formless God. Now I'm seeing him in his personal form. So this is the state of pravritti parayan paramahans, when they get to experience the bliss of the personal form of God. He says, barabasa brahma sukhahi manatyaga. My mind was forcefully taken out of that experience of the bliss of formless God and forcefully drowned in the bliss of the personal form of God, and now it's never going back. Bhagavatam tells about nivritti parayan paramahans. There's an example of sanakadik paramahans. These are four jnani saints who are also described in Bhagavatam as being the first of the 22 avatar of God. They're also sons of Brahma, his first sons that he produced. He produced Naradji after. So sanakadik paramahans are also always absorbed in formless God, but they have nothing to do with any kind of duties or society or family. So they're nivritti parayan paramahans, and they're always absorbed in formless God. One time they went to Vaikunth abode, and before even seeing, Janak at least saw Ram, then he got absorbed, or his absorption in formless God was finished, and he drowned in the love of Ram. Before even seeing Vishnu, they entered Vaikunth abode, and the breeze carried the scent of a tulsi flower. Here, the tulsi plants don't have flowers. Over there in the divine abode, they do. The scent of a tulsi flower which had been offered at the lotus feet of Mahavishnu, the breeze carried that scent and it entered their nostrils. Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Pada Aravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu. So it carried that scent and then it entered their nostrils. And then what happened? Sankshobhamaksharajushamapichittatambo. Their samadhi was revoked. And now they came to Vishnu and said, Kamam bhava svabrijinair nirayeshu natsyat cheto livat yadinute padayoramet vachaschanas tulasivad yaditeng hrishobha puryetate gunaganair yadi karnarandhra. O Bhagwan Mahavishnu, please give us your bliss of you in your personal form. We're even willing to be born in Narak. These are their exact words. Give us a birth in hell, but let us keep experiencing the bliss of you in your personal form. Then you can send us anywhere, and we don't care. This is the state of nivritti parayan paramahans, just getting the bliss of Almighty God. The bliss of Krishna's leelas are beyond that even. So, it's said in Ramayana, Soi sukh lavalesh barek jin sapne ulahi te nahi ginahi kakhagesh brahma sukhahi sajjan sumati. The one who gets a drop of that happiness of the bliss of Krishna Leelas, even in a dream, even if he gets lavalesh, just a tiny drop of that, then he'll never, for him, the bliss of formless God will be like nothing. Te nahi ginahi khagesh. It's of no value once he gets even a drop of the bliss of the personal form of God. So this bliss of Krishna Leelas, which is in the Bhagavatam, is greater than the bliss of Vaikunth abode. of Mahavishnu, which is greater than the bliss of formless God, which is uncountable times greater than the mayic bliss of Brahma's abode, which is millions of times greater than the greatest happiness of this earth planet. So that bliss of Krishna Leelas is what's in Bhagavatam. So when those disciples of Vedavyas went and sang softly that verse of Bhagavatam, it penetrated Shukadeva's samadhi easily because it's a higher power. Shukadeva was absorbed in the bliss of formless God. So of course no mayic thing could wake him up. You couldn't shake him or do anything to wake him up, but a verse of Bhagavatam could rouse him out of his samadhi. Just like this cup of water, if you fill it right to the brim, you can't put any more water in it, but you could put something heavier in it. You could put some honey in it. So the heavier thing can enter and displace the water. So the bliss of Krishna Prem, that could penetrate the bliss of formless God that Shukadevaji was absorbed in. So he actually saw Krishna walking by when they sang that first shloka. So that's why, seeing Krishna's beauty, he had a desire to experience more. So he opened his eyes. But then he thought, no, why would Krishna give the bliss of his divine love to me? So he closed his eyes again. Then the disciples sang that verse about Krishna's kindness, that he even gave the bliss of his divine abode to Putana. When Shukadeva heard that, then he said, oh, so I can get Krishna's bliss. Then he got up and he went and heard the whole Bhagavatam from Bhagavan Vedavyas. So the Bhagavatam is called Paramahans Samhita. Yasmin Paramahansyamekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate. Paramahansa Samhita means it's for even Paramahansas, even for those who are completely absorbed in the bliss of formless God, and they're totally beyond Maya. Why would they need to study any scripture? Scriptures are to get you free from Maya. But no, the Bhagavatam is for even those great Paramahansas who are beyond Maya and absorbed in the bliss of formless God. Even they want to drink in the bliss of the Bhagavatam. So it is Paramahansa Samhita. This verse goes on to say something else very interesting. Tat chinvan vipathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchyen narah. It says, listen to the Bhagavatam. Tat meaning Bhagavatam. Shrinvan, listen to it. Vipathan, read it. Vicharana para, then do manan of it, do vichar. So it means you have to hear it or read it, then understand it and think about it again and again and again and again. Then bhakti. Through that, you will get bhakti in your heart, by understanding the philosophy of Bhagavatam and by listening to the Krishna Leelas. Remember, I told you, even though we're not qualified to really receive the bliss of those Leelas, by listening to them faithfully, bhakti dawns in the heart of a devotee. Bhaktya vimuchin narah. Then through bhakti, you get liberated from Maya. And you get God realized. This is very important to understand, because so many people think, oh, I'll just go to a Bhagavat Saptah. I'll listen to the whole Bhagavatam. They tell it for a whole week, covering the whole Bhagavatam. And all I have to do is listen, and I'll get freed from Maya, and I'll get God realized. Maybe Parikshit Banunga. So I told you yesterday, Parikshit, and we'll hear more about Parikshit tomorrow, he was at a very high level. So he could actually just hear the Bhagavatam once and he got it. And he got God realized. So it's not like just go and sit and Pandit Ji is reciting Bhagavatam in Sanskrit and we're not understanding a single word he's saying and even nodding off a little bit. We think that listening to Bhagavatam like that for a week and we'll get God realized? If I only wish it was that easy. No, Bhagavatam says you hear it, you read it, you think about it, having understood it, you think about it. So if you don't understand Sanskrit, you have to go to a God-realized saint and learn from them what is in Bhagavatam. Then do bhakti. Listen to Krishna Leelas, meditate on them, develop bhakti in your heart, desire for the vision of Krishna. Eventually, through bhakti, you'll get God realized. These are the words of Shukadevji Paramahans in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, actually Bhagavat Mahatmya, describes the good listeners of Bhagavatam and the bad listeners. Calls it Pravar Shrota. Shrota means the listener. And Avar Shrota. Pravar means good or great. And Avar means not so good. And four kinds of each. So the Pravar Shrota are like number one, a Chatak. If someone just doesn't hear anything ever, but just listening to Bhagavad Vishay. Just only they listen to anything, any philosophy about God or Krishna's Leelas. They never get involved in anything in the world. So you could do that if you're living in an ashram. You can't do that if you're living in the world. But that would be a great shrota, someone who could do that. Now number two is a Hans shrota. This is what you have to do. Living in the world, you hear all kinds of things. You can't be like a chatak. You can't just hear Krishna name all day long. You also have to listen to your husband, your wife, your kids, your boss, your co-workers. You hear all kinds of things throughout the day, which have nothing to do with God, or worse yet, are just gossip or burai. So, listening to all of that, you have to be like the Hans. You leave out the things that are of no value or even worse than having no value, and you just take the good things. So you remember Krishna name, you think of Krishna Leelas, you go where you can hear more of that. And the rest that you hear, don't feel badly about it, just leave it aside. Be a Hans Shrota. Then we also have a Shuk Shrota. Shuk means you hear it and you listen so carefully you remember every word, and then when you repeat it to someone else without adding anything or subtracting anything, you tell it exactly how you heard it. That's just like a parrot. Shuk Shrota. And then we also have a Meen Shrota. Just like a fish living in Vishnu's Kshir Sagar. Fish's eyes don't blink. So the fish is there and unblinkingly drinking that sweet milk of Kshir Sagar. So the Meen Shrota, just with full rapt attention, keeps listening and drinking in the ras of Bhagavatam. So these are four Pravar Shrota. Now listen to four Avar Shrota. Number one, Vrik. Vrik means bhediya, a wolf. So Bhagavatam gives the example that just like, let's say there's some deer in the forest and someone's playing the flute and those deer are listening and they're absorbed and enjoying listening to the sweet, melodious sound of that flute, and a wolf comes and growls loudly and they all get scared. So Bhagavatam says, in the same way, everyone's sitting and listening to the pravachan or to the Bhagavad Katha, and then someone starts talking. Or someone's phone goes off. Any kind of disturbance. So the one, the person causing the disturbance, Bhagavatam says, that's the Vrik Shrota. So not only is he disturbing his sadhana, he's disturbing others' sadhana also. Now number two, we come to the word is Vrish Shrota. Vrish mane bail. Like a bull. You put anything in front of the bull, he'll eat it. You put a rasgulla, he'll eat it. You put something really bitter in front of him, he'll eat that too, and he won't care about the difference. He won't prefer the delicacy over the bitter thing. He'll just eat anything, whatever you put in front of him. So Bhagavatam says in the same way, someone who just goes anywhere and listens to anything without any ability to discriminate as to the value of that thing. Meaning, just in the spiritual field, there are so many people telling about Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Gita. So some people have no ability to discriminate. So many people have said to me, oh yeah, I listen to Kripaluji Maharaj on TV every day. Ah, bahut acche bolte hain. But I also listen to everybody else and I don't hear any difference. They all say something good. It's true, they all say something good. But really, if you listen carefully, there's quite a big difference between the Jyotishi who's sitting there and telling you this recipe or this thing you have to do to try to fix your pradab, and then someone else who's just telling a katha, and then someone else who's actually explaining and making people understand the philosophy. There is a big difference in what the different people are doing on the television. But just like the bell, some people just take it all in and then, oh, it's all the same. It's all good. So, number three, avarshrota, is ushtar. Mane oont, like a camel. The camel does discriminate, but he chooses the bitter thing over the sweet thing. He doesn't want the sweet thing, he wants the bitter thing. In other words, I don't want to hear about God. There's a nice Bhagavad Katha going on, but I only want to hear worldly things. There are people in the world like that too, even if it's put right in front of them. Here, come and listen to this, come and take part in this. Even then, they're only interested in the world. And number four, bhurund shrota. There's a kind of, this is a bird actually that lives in Himalay, which it's said listens to anything and then will tell someone else about it but never take the benefit itself. So a bhurund shrota is someone who comes and listens and remembers everything they heard but they don't put it into practice in their own life. And they'll tell someone else, oh yeah, you should do like this. And I heard this, you should do that, but they themselves never actually do bhakti. They hear and understand about the benefit of bhakti, but they never actually do it themselves. So this is how Bhagavatam explains the four good shrotas and the four bad shrotas. And we have a little bit of each of those in us. But with this knowledge, we can try to develop these good qualities and reduce the bad qualities. So we are listening to Bhagavatam this week. I told you that my goal is not to make you God realized by the end of the week. I'm not Shukdev Paramahans, and I'm guessing most of you are not at the level of Parikshit. But we're listening to the Bhagavatam, the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, based on what I have learned from Kripaluji Maharaj. And I'm explaining that to you so that you understand what is in Bhagavatam, what is the philosophy, and how can it be applied in your life? And what is the importance of the Krishna Leelas in the Bhagavatam, and how can those be used for doing bhakti? So, as I explained yesterday, we're going to finish each day by singing a Krishna Leela, which is taken out of Bhagavatam and put in simple Hindi by Kripaluji Maharaj. He's written thousands of such Krishna Leelas. So when we listen to and when we sing this Leela, we're actually getting the rasa of the Bhagavatam. Just like Shukadeva, he saw that lila happening before him. That same thing is in these lilas we're going to be singing. So take it that way with faith, that these are real Krishna lilas, and just by hearing them and singing them, you're going to purify your heart. And according to Bhagavatam, eventually real bhakti, real love for Krishna will sprout in the heart of someone who keeps listening to his lilas faithfully. This is the real value for us of Bhagavatam, that all that devotional material is there provided for us. And tomorrow we'll continue and we'll move along the parampara of the Bhagavatam. Now we understand how it came to Shukadevaji, but how did Shukadeva come to tell it to Parikshit? And then after that, it came to us. So we'll continue with that tomorrow, and right now we'll finish by singing a beautiful Krishna Leela. Sharmanji, thanks.
What was the Sanskrit word for Ushrota?
Ushtaran. Yesterday we sang a Vatsalya Bhava Leela where Mother Yashoda was enjoying the ras of Bal Krishna and his innocent behavior. So all the gopis of Braj, they loved Krishna with their heart and soul. But sometimes, see, because there was quite a bit of cherchar between Krishna and the gopis. So because prema is, you know, if you love someone, you like to be able to have fun with them also and tease them and play with them. If everybody just acts polite and straight all the time, what's the fun in that? So Krishna and gopis used to tease each other, and you know, we all know how naughty Krishna's behavior is in a loving way. So the gopis loved that, but they also played along. So when Krishna did something naughty, they would come and complain to Mother Yashoda. And it also gave them an excuse to come and see Krishna there in the house as well. So today some gopis have come to the house of Nanda Baba and Yashoda, and they've gotten Mother Yashoda's attention, and they're complaining to her about Krishna's behavior.
Thank you.
Krishna red-handed stealing butter in her house, she said, "This time I'm going to show Mother Yashoda the evidence." So she tied Krishna up in her house And she went to Yashoda's house to bring her back and show her, see, here's Krishna, he's got the butter on his face, he's got it on his hand, I caught him in my house. So when she arrived there and said, Yashoda, now this time you have to believe me. She said, what are you talking about? Lala's right here, Lala, and he came out of the house. And Krishna is standing behind Maya looking at the gopi like this. So the gopi was just embarrassed. And when she went home, her husband was tied up. And he was, untie me, what did you do? So Krishna got her again. The youth and adults are learning the same material, basically, just in a slightly different order. So if you see that the kids have heard a story that you haven't heard yet, don't worry, you'll hear it later in the week, and vice versa. And just because I think some of you weren't here yesterday, there will be an exam for the youth on the last day. And of course, the special recognition for those who have perfect attendance as well. And one other announcement, there are some flyers on the registration table out there, and one of those flyers is for a program that starts next weekend, or in 2 weekends. This one goes until Saturday. Then the next Saturday, July 23rd, I start a 15-day program at the Hanuman Mandir in Hempstead. So they have their Akhanda Ramayan pot happening, and they're inviting some different speakers to come throughout. So I'll be there from July 23rd to August 6th, a full 15-day program, and you can see all the topics I'll be speaking on as the essence of Sanatana Dharma. So those flyers are there, and also there's a little flyer for the Radha Madhav Dham family camp. Those who don't know, or who used to know us as Barsana Dham, Kripaluji Maharaj decided to change the name. He said very few people know what is Barsana. So he said it's better if we call it Radha Madhav Dham. So we still have Barsana Hill there, and it's Raseshwari Radharani Mandir, but we're now called Jagadguru Kripalu Parishat Radha Madhav Dham. So Jagadguru Kripalu Parishat is the overall name of our organization, which is based out of India and has 4 ashrams in India, and the 1 ashram outside of India is the Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas. So we have twice a year we have a family camp there. The information for the next family camp, which is in December, from December 26th to the 30th, that is on that flyer with a website. Go to hindufamilycamp.org and you can see the pictures and videos from this last camp we just had last week, actually, which was a great success. So we can stand for the Arati. By the way, in tomorrow's Leela, we get to hear Krishna's side. After the gopis leave, then he gets to tell Mother that all the gopis are lying. I didn't know any of this.